Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you a summary this morning, and then you can tell me whether or not I hit it or not, okay? May your faith life, your witness, be an inspiration that cheers others on. Because the scriptures are clear, it's time to run. Now, you may find some of you are coasting or panting along the sidelines, but it's time to run. I think we all enjoy listening to stories about people who will not give up. Those stories of those who stay on course even when the going gets tough. Because they become a source of great inspiration to all. I think about just the last few years, Louis Zamperini in the movie and the book Unbroken, that hung in there, and when he was in a prisoner of war, that he was beaten every day, and yet he was unbroken. But I mean, and it took some in order for him to come to Jesus, but nonetheless, very inspiring. But then there's also when people begin their Christian walk and then later quit. And I don't know what the reason may be, if it's because the going gets tough or may have been ridiculed or something has caused discouragement. The last month, there was a Christian writer, Pastor Joshua Harris, years ago, wrote a book called "Like Kiss Dating Goodbye." I mean, it was a bestseller years ago, and he put a Twitter out there, a tweet, I guess, saying that he described it that he had left the Christian faith, and he called it the deconstruction of faith. Okay, which basically it's falling away. And there are others who have been saying that and going really sideways. The witness, which can be a powerful witness, is what the writer of Hebrews was concerned about. It was very important. These words again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Scripture compares the Christian life to a foot race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. The word for race is, in the Greek, is the word agon. We get the word agony or agonize from. It does not matter really how fast you're going when you start if you do not finish. You might have a fast start, but it's important that you finish. In a marathon, it's stamina, it's endurance that's critical. My closest to a marathon was running a 5K. Thanksgiving Day 2016, I was inspired and I signed up for the Turkey Trot in Edmond. It was a fundraiser. I've never thought of myself jogging or anything like that, but at that point I had been motivated. And my whole thing was, my goal didn't matter to me if I was the fastest or the slowest. I just wanted to start and I wanted to finish, okay? And I did. Okay, that was the miracle of miracles. There were two gas company servicemen. There was a senior training supervisor and a young trainee. They were checking out and reading meters. They parked their truck at one end of an alley and worked their way from one end to the other. At the last house, the woman in the house looked out her kitchen window and watched as the two men were checking the gas meter. Well, when they finished, the older supervisor challenged his younger co-worker to a foot race back down the alley to the truck. As they neared the end of the alley, they realized the lady from the last house was huffing and puffing right behind them. And they asked her, "Well, what's wrong?" gasping for air, she said, "When I saw the two of you guys from the gas company running full speed away from the house, I figured I better run too." The lady was running. She didn't know exactly why she was running, yet she was convinced her life depended on it. Now, wouldn't it be a true blessing if each and every individual who calls themselves a follower of Christ would run the race of faith with such fervency? We are told in Scripture to run the race with perseverance and with endurance. Perseverance. The Greek word is hupomane, the steady determination to keep going, to continue when everything within you wants to slow down or to give up. The Scripture clearly says it's time to run. Now, some of you may be coasting or panting on the sidelines. Scripture says it's time to run. Some of you may be complaining about the condition of the race. Doesn't matter, it's time to run. You know, some may be out of shape spiritually, and you may be ready with excuses, but it's time to run. It's time to run. Paul exclaimed, "I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Finishing the race well is so critically important for all who call themselves followers of Christ. You know, we are inspired by those saints, those believers who have finished the race, that have gone before us. And we can praise God. We are, Hebrews 12:1, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We can be inspired by those who have finished the race. They've gone on before. Notice, and I'm sure you've heard this, Hebrews 12 begins with the word therefore. Therefore is always a connection to what happened in the previous chapter. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is the faith chapter. It is an extended list of people who finished the race, who were found faithful. One that I had not mentioned and read was in verse 7, Noah. We all remember Noah. You know what? He spent 120 years of his life building the ark. 120 years! I don't have that much patience. I'll confess that my patience sometimes runs short. Last week we were up, made our last trip, hopefully, to the house that we have put up for sale. Please pray about it. And there was a light that didn't work. One of the 4-foot tube lights, and it was in an area that I had changed it years before, and it's not a fun area to try to replace. And I was not looking for it. Went and bought a couple tubes and going to replace them. I could not for the life of me get the dumb tube to go, the light to go in. Karen's there to give me some light. I said, "I don't need any light. I just need to know how to get it in there." Then as I'm trying to do it and it won't go in, then there's that cover that covers the wires fell down. And the connection wasn't there. And I'm like, how do I put this back? Well, thankfully I had a friend that's a retired electrician, and you know, he came to my rescue. Thank you, Lord. Okay? But you know, that's not, when I'm working on stuff like that, patience is not one of my virtues. I'll tell you that. My wife would be saying amen to that. She was there. You know, every once in a while, when I, you know, it'll happen that when things are just going too slowly, and I can become anxious, I can start getting impatient. Why is it taking so long? All Noah would have to do is say, you know, how long have you been waiting? His list of being faithful, 120 years. Okay, in that list, there was Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Samson and David. All of these great witnesses who finished the race of faith. that was laid before them. And I can just imagine from that list they're saying, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep going. Where the heavenly arena is filled with witnesses in faith who have gone before us. Now, we may look at witness in the sense that they're watching and cheering us on as contestants. But it's not what the Scripture has there. The word for witness is not a spectator. They're not watching, so to speak. The word is martyr, in which it's a witness. It is a way of encouragement. It cheers us on just by the remembering of what that person, how they lived out their lives as a testimony. Now, when I get discouraged, I think not only of the great saints of Scripture, but there are men and women of God who have had an impact on my life, who have inspired me, who have finished the race on this side to the point of going to eternity. But I cannot help but remember, and I'm so blessed, and I'm sure many of you are too, that you can think of ones who you're thankful for, the witness that they maintained. And I mean, I can think of just really quickly, my dad, my mom, my brother, an aunt who called out of nowhere when I was really feeling discouraged because it seemed like God was not answering a question that I had of a sense of call a number of years ago. She called once and only once, and she said, Jerry, how are you doing? And my normal thing, the Minnesota niceness, is to say fine, even though it's not fine. And she went on a little bit further, and I said, oh, no, fine. She said, well, for some reason, God has been stirring me to be praying for you. What am I supposed to do? So I fessed up. Yeah, things weren't all fine. And she said, well, I'm not surprised, because God has placed people who are struggling and depressed, discouraged, to be praying for him. Oh, God is so good. You know, life is not always easy when it's a marathon race that we call life, is it? We may feel like slowing down or even giving up, but we must press on. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the electric light bulb, is a good illustration of keeping on. He experimented 10,000 times before he succeeded. And he said, these were not failures. I just discovered 9,999 different ways that the bulb didn't work. What if he had given up at the 9,999th? Well, he wouldn't have been the one inventing the light bulb. Somebody probably would have, but his eyes were focused on the prize. He did not let anything encumber him from obtaining that prize. The Scriptures are clear. They are not confusing. Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that entangles us. Let us run the race with perseverance that is set before us. You know, to run a race means you have to take action. It has to be an action on your part. To lay aside something takes action. You know, no serious runner is going to carry extra baggage if they're going to really compete to win. The Greek word translated for lay aside, it requires an ongoing action, an action of removing extra baggage continually, every moment of every day. So what things are encumbering you? What things entangle you that need to be laid aside? The Scriptures are clear. Lay aside every weight. The Greek word for weight is neither bad or good. It is what weighs us down, diverts our attention, zaps our strength, dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. That is what weighs us down. The army of Alexander the Great were advancing in Persia, and at one critical point, it appeared that his troops were going to be defeated. What Alexander realized is that the soldiers had taken so much plunder from their previous campaigns that they had become weighed down, and they were losing their effectiveness to be in combat. So Alexander immediately commanded all the spoils to be thrown into a heap and burned. Now, the men complained bitterly, but as soon as they could see the wisdom of the order, because it freed them up, One of the commanders wrote, it was as if wings had been given to them. They walked lightly again. Victory was assured. We are all called to lay aside the sin which easily entangles us, that easily ensnares us. The writer of Hebrews uses the definite article, the sin. It's as if he is referring to some specific sin that each of us individually are most likely to commit. What sin? What is the sin that easily entangles you, that clings so closely? Is it jealousy of what someone else has? Is it envy? Is it a critical spirit? Is it hatred? Is it lust? Is it pride? Whatever the sin is, it must be stripped off and left behind. The Christian race is not a competitive event to see who comes in first. The Christian race is to see who finishes faithfully. It's an endurance run. And the text says, we are to be looking to Christ, for he is the author at the starting point and the finisher. He's at the finish line of our faith. Looking means concentrating your gaze. So you focus all your attention on one object. Focus one object. It's much like the coach when he tells his runners, when the gun sounds, start running. Don't look back. Don't look around. Keep your eyes on the finish line and just keep running. And the one thing I told my daughter when in middle school that she was going to run in a race, she was watching the finish line when we were just kind of going over. And I'm not a coach of any type of that way, but she would see the finish line and she'd slow down, thinking she's coming to the finish line. I said, you need to have a look at something that's beyond the finish line, and you run toward that. And that's what we need to. We need to look beyond. We don't slow down. You know, if we start slowing down, we may stop. There's a hymn that really kind of says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's time to run. The race is not over until you have finished, until you've crossed the finish line. You know, and my prayer is that your life be listed with those saints of faith, that your faith life, that your witness, that your race is an inspiration that cheers others on. Amen to that? Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.